Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now from Amman, Jordan, is Dawood Kutub, who is a former Ferris Professor of Journalism at Princeton University, where he taught a seminar on new media in the Arab world. Kutub is a Palestinian journalist and media activist who was born in Jerusalem and studied in the United States. In 2000, he established the Arab world's first internet radio station, AmanNet. He's an award-winning journalist and TV producer and is active in media freedom efforts in the Middle East. And he has an article at The Atlantic, Are Palestinians Ready to Share a State with Jordan? Welcome to Background Briefing, Dawood Kutub.
Yes, thank you.
So tell me, in your article in The Atlantic, Are Palestinians Ready to Share a State with Jordan? You cite the prince, the brother of the former king, Prince Hassan, mentioning the possibility and some other sources. Of course, one of the ironies of this is, hasn't it always been a kind of the Likud right-wing dream in Israel to somehow for the Palestinians to go away and form a state in Jordan?
Well, I didn't make the headline, as you know. I argued that there is a change in the political atmosphere now that the UN recognized with an overwhelming majority the state of Palestine on the 67 borders. And what I argued based on what is happening is that there is a possibility for Palestinians and Israel and Jordanians to reconsider the idea of a confederation, not the federation. And the confederation is defined as a union of two independent states. So we're not talking here about a transfer of people or setting up a Palestinian state in Jordan or any of that Likud stuff. We're talking here about the potential after there is an independent Palestinian state that there will be a confederate agreement with the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan.
Well, of course, going back to 67, there was a great deal of reluctance on both the King Hussein's side in Jordan and on the part of the Israelis in that war, the 67 war, to go to war. And essentially, Jordan was forced into it, was it not, by Syria and Egypt. So the situation prior to 67 seemed to be at least work for both sides. Am I correct?
Well, there is a lot of confusion about the situation. And again, even as late as this year, an Israeli commission tried to justify the existence of Jewish settlements in the West Bank by saying that the West Bank is disputed territory, is not occupied territory, because at the time before 67, only two countries recognized Jordan's annexation of the West Bank. But what I am trying to say is that after the UN, with 139 countries, approved the state of Palestine, this issue is no longer valid, and no longer people can worry about the idea whether the West Bank is disputed or not, or who was controlling what before 67 and who recognized what before 67. There is clear evidence now by the overwhelming majority of the world countries, including most of the Security Council permanent members, with the exception, unfortunately, of the U.S., that Palestine is the state for Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and that this allows for the Palestinians, if they choose, to confederate or to make some kind of an arrangement with their nearest Arab neighbor, which is Jordan.
Well, I think in many ways, Dawood Kutub, what is attractive about this possibility is that the status quo is getting worse for both Palestine and for Jordan, is it not? There have been indications inside of Jordan itself, demonstrations over the cutting of subsidies for gasoline, etc. Jordan is swamped by refugees from the ill-considered and disastrous American war in Iraq. And also now with the civil war going on in Syria, And on the Palestinian side, the PLO, or the Palestinian Authority, has all but been castrated by the Israelis continually pressuring them and frustrating them and not being serious about peace. Well, they're serious about peace talks, but not about peace. And then Hamas seems to be gaining more and more credibility within the Palestinian community. So this sounds to me, given the current trajectory, a very hopeful reversal of what looks like more and more bad news.
Yeah, I mean, around the world today, a country, especially small countries, are realizing that you cannot live as a small economic island, that you need to have open markets with your neighbors and so on. So from an economic point of view, the integration of Jordan and Palestine, in fact, Palestine with the Arab world, the opening up of the markets of the Arab world to each other, will be economically beneficial. The problem has always been that, as you said in your outset, that some in Israel, some of the right-wing Israelis, will jump on this idea as to say, there's no need to give Palestinians a state in the West Bank and Gaza. They can go set up a state in Jordan. And this has always been the reason why, at one time, the late King Hussein said, don't even talk anymore about confederation, because Israelis were basically saying, you know, Jordan here, take care of the Palestinians, and we don't want to worry about them. So what happened in the last few months is that when the PLO, when the UN recognized the state of Palestine on the 67 border, this worry, which the late King Hussein had worried about, is no longer there. And anyway, relations between Palestinian leadership under Abbas and the new King Abdullah are much less cautious than they were between Arafat and King Hussein, where there was a lot of rivalry and worry about what the Jordanians really want and whether there is some kind of conspiracy. So some of these worries are no longer there. And from an economic point of view, any deal that opens up more markets and allows people to move goods and people from one country to another are usually good for the economic point of view.
Again, I'm speaking with Daoud Kutab, who is in Amman, Jordan. He's a former Ferris Professor of Journalism at Princeton University, where he taught a seminar on new media in the Arab world. And he's a Palestinian journalist and media activist, born in Jerusalem, studied in the United States. And in 2000, he established the Arab world's first internet radio station, AmanNet. He's an award-winning journalist and TV producer, and is active in media freedom efforts in the Middle East, and has an article at The Atlantic, "Are Palestinians Ready to Share a State with Jordan?" Well, I don't expect necessarily rationality from the Israeli right, and they seem to be dominating politics in Israel more and more, and probably will continue to do so. The influx of Russian refugees from the Soviet Union has turned the country to the right, and the diaspora, particularly the wealthy diaspora here in the United States, has always pushed them to the right. A lot of the West Bank settlements are financed by American billionaires who push a very right-wing agenda, even though the majority of American Jews are very liberal. So it is seems to me that throughout the 60s and 70s, the Israelis always said that they were surrounded by people who wanted to kill them, and that was always hyperbole given Israel's military strength. But now you could make the case that Israel's security is, in fact, getting worse and worse. If they end up with a Muslim Brotherhood government in Syria, which seems to be inevitable, the new Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt is less than friendly, and the entire Sinai area has become porous and lawless, and King Hussein's situation is not strong in Jordan. So you would think at some point the Israelis would want to come to their senses about getting serious about dealing with the Palestinians instead of trying to sort of confiscate their land and punish them indefinitely with this kind of apartheid policy that they seem to have.
Yes, I mean, it is true that we've been stuck in a kind of a cycle. And what is interesting about this suggestion, I'm not sure it will actually work. Jordanians themselves, East Bank Jordanians, are not very excited about it. Many Palestinians are worried about it. But what is interesting about it is it changes somehow the rules of the game. It provides many Israelis who are genuinely worried and fearful a kind of a way out, because the Israelis have a very high degree of confidence in Jordanians and the King Abdullah. So if there is interest, if there is a will for peace, I think this provides people with goodwill with an opportunity to get involved in the peace process. Again, it's a long shot, and you know, it's doubtful that it will work. But if there is goodwill, I think this could be an opportunity for creative diplomacy. Obama is in his second term with less worries about being reelected and more about his legacy. So there are things that are there that can make this a possibility. But again, there are so many things that can go wrong.
Well, Dawood Khatab, who is talking about it, apart from the brother of the late king, Prince Hassan, and others that you've cited in your article in The Atlantic? You also indicate that some U.S. diplomats have been talking about this behind the scenes. So how much track...
The former head of the PLO's political committee, Farouk Okadoum, has spoken about it. And the one newspaper in London, an Arabic newspaper, is quoted senior officials in the PLO as being told by President Abbas to kind of prepare for the possibility of some kind of confederation. We know that King Abdullah made a surprise visit about 2 weeks ago to Ramallah right after the UN vote, and he became the first Arab leader to visit Ramallah. So there are different signs here and there. It's, you know, as in the Middle East, you have to really be very careful, because if an idea becomes too public, it actually can destroy it. So I think they're trying to play careful politics on this issue, and with the hope that if they can get enough support, then, you know, then it might become more public. If they can somehow find ways to get different parts of this idea resolved, and some of the difficulties like Jerusalem and settlements and the borders and all that. So, again, you know, God is in the details, and there are so many details that can easily go wrong. And I think that's why you will not hear any major public support for it.
Well, but your basic point, Dawood Khatab, that this is the only thing that makes sense economically in the new economic world order of globalism, etc., that small countries can't survive.
Absolutely.
And the West and the Palestinian
and the West Bank will not be very viable unless they have open borders with their natural relations with the other Arab countries, where they can trade, where they speak the same language, have the same culture. So it's only normal to think in this direction. And
would this give Jordan a corridor to the Mediterranean? Could this be worked out? Because Jordan is not
could give Jordan a number of economic benefits vis-a-vis the market in Palestine, using the high level of educated Palestinians in the West Bank. It can also, I mean, there are possibilities, but this is not the real problem. The real problem is to take care of the politics. In the Middle East, the politics trumps everything, and if we can find people with goodwill, with creativity, to try to kind of cross the T's and dot the I's and deal with the politics, I think the economics would easily benefit. But we have to take care of the politics first.
But surely any rational person can see that the politics are going nowhere. They're going from bad to worse.
True. Absolutely. And because we've been dealing with the same rationale, with the same obstacles, the Palestinians will not negotiate until the Israelis stop the settlement. Israelis says, you're not negotiating, therefore you're not interested in peace. Palestinians say the Israelis just want photo opportunities, and they don't want to negotiate. They've been negotiating for 20 years, while at the same time building settlements in where the Palestinian state will be. So it's an endless rhetorical cycle that's not going to be broken until there is somehow a game changer. And you know, people are now cautiously optimistic that maybe in the next year, with Mahmoud Abbas saying he's not going to run for elections anymore, Obama is not going to run for elections anymore, there are certain things that can happen if people really want it to happen.
And of course, as you say, the recent declaration of statehood in the United Nations by and the acceptance by the United Nations of Palestine is a game changer. But surely a new regime in Syria would be also a game changer in terms of diminishing Iran's influence, particularly via Hezbollah. So the region's in flux. I mean, I suggested that things were getting worse for the Israelis, but in a way, if they could seize this initiative, maybe things could get better for them.
You can look at it in different ways. You could say that, you know, the Nixon to China syndrome can work if Netanyahu is reelected, and he now would be reelected for three times. He might want to also think about his own legacy. You know, if you want to look in a positive half full cup, you can find it. And if you want to see the half empty cup, you can also find it. We've been talking about this issue and suffering because of the continuation of occupation for four decades now. And we just need somehow people that can really take courage and follow through with their own words and have some action on the ground to end this occupation. We believe it's the cause of poisoning the atmosphere in many other conflicts in the region.
Well, Dawood Qutob, I thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with Dawood Qutob, who is in Amman, Jordan. He is a former Ferris Professor of Journalism at Princeton University, where he taught a seminar on new media in the Arab world. He's a Palestinian journalist and media activist who was born in Jerusalem and studied in the United States. And in 2000, he established the Arab world's first internet radio station, Amman Net. And he's an award-winning journalist and TV producer, active in media freedom efforts in the Middle East. And he has an article in The Atlantic, Are Palestinians Ready to Share a State with Jordan?
And this has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producers G and Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And the conversation continues at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.